the 12th chapter. This is Jesus' supper as he had at Bethany, beginning, then his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then Jesus answers questions that's asked to him. And then this part of the section, or part of what we're looking at this night or this evening, is the hope of the world for every person. The latest poll taken about the overall outlook of our world situation stated that it is hopeless at its very best. But if we look at the economy, if we look at the advances of terrorists, and even at the spiritual climate of our country, we would almost all agree with that, would we not? But I've got news for you. As a child of God, I know different because of an all-powerful, all-wise God who is in control. That means situations that's beyond anything that I have any control over. He's in control of those. This morning's Sunday school lesson was a good example of that in the life of Joseph as we've been studying. But I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and what Jesus said here, because I'll tell you from the authority of God's Word that he sent Jesus to give hope then while we're here on earth, but also for the future. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer? I know I have John 12:46. I want you to back up to 44 to get the gist of this. It says in verse 44, it says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to what? Save the world. Let's pray together. Father, we bow to give you thanks for today, for the time that we can come together as friends and neighbors and loved ones and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome opportunity that's afforded us today. Realizing, Lord, of those who had insight in the past and set aside this place as holy ground and a church was established here, Lord, we thank you that we can come within these walls and we can lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come, Lord, with great anticipation of what you can and will do. That's what worship is all about, is expecting you to do something in our lives and through our lives, Lord, today. So we come asking, Father, that you would just speak as only you can through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We once again come asking, Lord, that you would visit each and every heart here, walk up and down each and every aisle, every pew, Lord, and you would minister that which hearts need here today. We realize, Lord, the situation of our nation, and we realize, Lord, that you are the only hope that we have. So, Father, today we come to rejoice and to thank you and to praise you because of that. I would pray once again, Father, that you would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you would anoint them and speak through them the truth of your word, that we each and every one may be drawn closer to you. The pull, magnetic pull of Jesus Christ as we lift up the cross. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Father, we come today for that purpose and that purpose alone. We're also reminded, Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, of those who are less fortunate, those who are going through circumstances in their life, those that's lost loved ones, Lord, we pray that you would comfort and you would be with them and you would speak to their hearts as only you can, the comfort that you can give. We pray, oh Father, that you'd work in the circumstances of other lives that are going through problems and illness with their health, Lord. We pray that you would intervene there as only you can. We look to you with great anticipation of what you can and what you will do. So, Father, we come in faith believing today. And once again, Lord, I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, that he will be honored and glorified. Amen and amen. As you're being seated, We come to understand that in and through circumstances of life, that if we're not very careful in the day in which we live, we will lose hope. But we need to understand that hopeless problems do not and cannot lead to hopelessness if we put our faith and trust in the right place and the right person. So this morning, as we come together looking at this passage of Scripture, the first thing we need to see and we need to look at is the condition of the world. The condition of the world. All we need to do is just look around. Listen to the radio, look at TV, that time vacuum. That's what it is. It vacuums up your time where you don't have time to read God's word and to pray like you should. And there's the computer even flashes across the computer, the events and things that's happening today that is very discouraging and very disheartening, that will disrupt your spiritual being as a child of God if you will let it. But my friend, today we need to look beyond the circumstances. We need to look to the one who is in control and recognize that in and through the problems and situations of life that there is hope. Look how Jesus put it in John 3. Turn there just a moment when we talk about the world in which we live. It is a world of darkness. Look in John 3 just a moment, starting there in verse 17. He says, for, you know, verse 16, but verse 7, he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already past action, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That what? That what? Look at that. Look at it very close. What does it say? That what is coming to the world? Light is coming to the world. Look what it says there next. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are what? Evil. When we understand the world today in which we are looking at, we see the reason. Here in verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be manifest or reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, for his deeds may be made manifest or brought to light that they are wrought in God. What is Jesus saying there? He recognized that he came into a world and that world was filled with darkness. In the very beginning of John's gospel, he said in the beginning as Jesus came, that he came as a light of the world. But he says the light, verse 5, cannot comprehend or overcome that light. So when we think about the dreaded disposition, the whole outlook of the light of the world, we see that. But look what Paul said about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Paul had some analogy there on it. He said these words. He says, but if our gospel be hid, the term there is veiled, covered. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? 2 Corinthians 4, did I say 4? 4, 3, I'm sorry, I said 3, 4 a while ago, didn't I? 4, 3, 3, 4, I get it right. 4, 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, okay, we got it there. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look what he says next. In whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, or blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is Paul saying there? What is Jesus saying? They recognize that we live in a world that is filled and full of darkness. But we need to understand that the light that comes from God, the truth of God that come into the world, that Jesus dispels that darkness. Jesus came for that purpose, is to dispel the darkness. And when we think about that and we look around, we see all these things. So understand the condition of the world where Jesus came as the one who gives hope and peace and life and light, as they sung about. So we see that he's the one. Paul said that. Jesus said that. But let me tell you something. There's a song by the McCame, as they sung several years ago. The reason that we do not see it as believers and the children of God is maybe we have grown accustomed to the darkness. Have we? Have we grown accustomed to the darkness? Or do we, as whose we are, let me put it that way, whose we are, do we in our life and the activities of life to go about to dispel the darkness? And this is what the whole message is dealing with and about. But the second thing we need to see is we need to see the character of Christ. Verse 35 and 36, he deals back with. Back up there to that in those verses, 35 and 36. Look what he says. He said, "And Jesus said unto them," yet a little, that's in John 12, back to John 12. "Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the" what? "The children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed and hid himself from them." Here Jesus is explaining that in him is light. If we think about that, we understand the truth of what Jesus is saying. In back up to chapter 9, 4 and 5 just a moment. Let's back up and do a little bit of study here. 9, 4 and 5. In chapter 9, 4 and 5, I believe it is. He says there, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am" what? "I am the light of the world." Now, when we understand the "I am"s that Jesus spoke, he says, "I am the true bread. I am life." Here he said, "I am the light of the world." When we understand all the "I am"s that Jesus said he was, we need to recognize when we respond to the "I am" of who he is, we become that. Are you with me? We become the light of the world. Jesus said that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 14. He says, "You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Jesus came, if I understand the scripture right, chapter 10, we see Jesus deals with it as he proves it at Lazarus' tomb. There, Lazarus had died. You remember the story. Jesus met Mary and Martha the day before he walked to the tomb, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That's why we have hope, not only here, but also in the life and the world to come, because of him and who he is. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Believeth thou this? Do you really believe it? Is it just some words that's wrote on paper? Do you really believe it? But Jesus proved it there as he walked to the tomb of Lazarus, and the light of his very power and presence displayed the darkness of death, and Lazarus, he spoke him back into existence. Lazarus came forth. We need to understand that Jesus has the power to do that. Now look close at our text, verse 46. Look what he says there. He says this, 12:46, "I am come a light into the world." Where? Into the world. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not" what? "Abide in darkness." In other words, the term there is to make our dwelling place in the place where the world has set aside for darkness. We're not to live the way the world lives. I met with a man just this past week, and he says, "Preacher, I want you to answer me something." I said, "Well, if I can, I'll try to." He says, "How in the world is it that people come and they walk the church aisle, they take the preacher by the hand, and we dunk them in the baptism pool, and they come back maybe one or two Sundays, and you don't see them anymore, and they say they're saved? Tell me about that. How can that be?" I says, "I'll tell you exactly how it is from Scripture. That's an impossibility. You cannot come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and absent yourself from his church. There's no way you can, and call yourself a Christian." when we understand the ramifications of the church and the reason for the church as we knit together in His love, because of that, we become the witness for Him in the world in which we live, and we must recognize that we need each other whether you like it or not. Don't take it up with me, take it up with the Lord, okay? So here, what we understand in this is what Jesus is saying: I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Abide in darkness. There's a premise or a truth we need to understand. And we see it around us today. Yes, we see a world that's in darkness, and then the darkness seeming to be taking over. Let me tell you something. The darker the night, the brighter the light. You think about that. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And we need to understand the darker it gets in the world, the brighter we need to shine for Jesus Christ, for His glory. Not for us, but for Him. So we understand that, okay? We understand that. But look at the third thing. Look at the sphere of His shining. Verse 46, I read, it says, unto the world. Unto the world, out in the world, unto the world. Isaiah prophesied of that light in Isaiah 49:6. He says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. There it is, to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. You need to mark that scripture. I didn't turn, have you turn to it? Isaiah 49:6, because here Isaiah prophesies about the impact of the light, the power of the light, and the reason Jesus came is to shine and to show forth God's love to a lost and dying world. This reference goes all the way back to creation in Genesis 1:3. Where it talks about the light. The term there, unto, means available. It means to go and to flow in and through. And that's exactly what Jesus made possible as the light of the world. He came for the purpose to dispel the darkness of the world, the darkness of sin. And the thing about it is when we understand that there on creation morning, when God said, let there be light, the Bible says, and there was light. No ifs, ands, buts about it. There was light. And He divided that from day to night. We're going to read that. We can understand what He's talking about there. But the thing about it is, we need to understand that in the same voice of authority that God spoke, Jesus was there as well to be the light of the world. So we understand the ramifications of that and the flow from that into the present situation where Jesus came as that babe in Bethlehem, which we'll be celebrating in just a few weeks. The fourth thing. Look at the purpose of His coming. Verse 47, the last part. He said He came for the purpose. What is the purpose of a light? What is the purpose of a light? You men that go into the woods before morning to go deer hunting, why do you carry a flashlight with you? So you won't stumble over a fat light or stump and knock your, bust your shins or fall on the dirt or get wrapped up in something else. Why do you, when you go, I remember Brother I.B. one time went catfishing, and he slipped his daddy's brand new flashlight off and carried it with us fishing. There was a log going across the river there where we were setting out some hooks up down the river there to head the river, and guess what? He dropped his daddy's flashlight in the water. And he says, build up the fire. He says, I got to go in and get it. It was cold too. He shucked off his clothes. You could see that flashlight shining. He went down there and got his daddy's flashlight and brought it back up because he knew if he dispelled his or displaced his daddy's flashlight, what would happen. Right? So we see light is for a purpose. It's a purpose to show, to guide, to direct, to lead, even to warn. That's why you have lights on the runway at the airplane to warn them and let them know where to go, where to light, and where to what to do. We see flashing lights. We see there are warning lights. And we need to understand they're there for a purpose. Here we understand what is the purpose of His coming. He said here His purpose was, and let's clarify that as we look at the last part of verse 47. It says, I judge them not, for I came not to judge the world, but to what? Save the world. He come to save the world. Luke 19:10 says it this way. Says this way, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, that's what happened when Jesus came. He shares and shows the spotlight of God's love, care, compassion, concern, mercy, grace, all those things wrapped up together. He demonstrated that for a world they could come to know exactly what God had in store for them, what God wanted for us. See, it was no more existence because Jesus came to give life. Judaism taught about existence. Do this, do that, do the other. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Jesus came to give life so that we could live and be everything that God would have us to be, that our life could be something open to Him as He flows into us and through us, that we may understand His mission and ministry in our life. Has the light of His love shined into your heart? Has it? The question needs to be answered, because see, if the light of His love has not shined in our heart, then we are lost. We're lost. We have no direction, no aim, no goal, no purpose in life whatsoever. But when Jesus comes in, He makes us aligned with, if you please, and I like to use this because that's when He comes Lord of our life, and He is Lord of our life when we invite Him in, not just for fire insurance, but He comes in as Lord of our life. And when He comes in as Lord of our life, let me tell you something. He gives us direction in which way we need to go, what God would have us to do, what God would have us to be about. Listen, only God can do that through the Holy Spirit of God. Through the Holy Spirit of God. And when He does, we need to respond, because He's calling us, pleading with us to come to Him, come to the light. The last thing, fifthly, as we move hurriedly along. The condition of salvation. The condition of salvation that brings lasting hope. Lasting hope. I said that. He says, believe on me. There in verse 46, the second part, He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. See, we begin with the condition of the world, the lost, the darkness of the world. But now we close with the condition of salvation, because as we look at this, we understand that only He can give lasting hope. I'm talking about hope for the here and now, yes, and we need that. But I'm talking about He gives lasting hope as well. Lasting hope that we can look beyond those dark days, even of death. That's why the psalmist wrote what he did there in the 23rd Psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he goes on, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's only a shadow. He says, God is with me. Let me tell you something, my friend. Where there is a shadow, there is a light somewhere. And when we understand that Jesus drew the analogy of death as that shadow that we pass through, yes, yes, we do. But let me tell you something. We can understand that there's life. There's more than living here. There's real life, lasting life, and lasting hope. Here he uses the term believeth. And this is not head knowledge. This is not some thought of the brain or the mind that we have. Some of us has got a little more than others, but we won't go there either. But the thing about it is, he's talking about of the very heart, the complete ultimate trust. That's what the term means. Complete ultimate trust, listen to me, activated by obedience. That goes back to what I said a while ago. You cannot say you've come to know Jesus Christ unless there's active obedience in your life. And I want to be very plain on this. If you go back and you look at any person's life, those patriarchs of the Old Testament, those of the New Testament, those that done things for God, you see that there was an act of faith where they trusted God, but then it followed up with an act of obedience, of being what God wanted them to be. You cannot separate the two. They go together. They're inseparable. When we understand that this term believe means a complete and ultimate trust activated by our obedience as we follow God's word, follow God's will for our lives, and do the things that He would have us to do. We sang that song so many times. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to what? Trust and obey. My friend, that's what the Christian life is all about, is it not? Is trusting and obeying. Listen to me now. The more you obey Him, the more you come to trust Him too. The more we are obedient to the things He would have us to do, the more we come to know and understand that He wants the very, very best for us. So we can come together and realize that. That's why Jesus said what He did in Matthew 5:14. I alluded to it a while ago. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Cannot be hid. Why should you hide it if it's on the hill? A city that's set on, you are the light of the world. That's one of the compliments He paid. He began by saying, you are the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I pondered as I thought about it and come up with this message. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And then He says, you are the light of the world. What's the difference between the earth and the world? You ever thought about it? The thing about it is the whole scope of the world is that Jesus come to display light to the whole world just as it was in the creation, and that's exactly what He did. But He said this also there in verse 16. He says, let. He didn't say try to make it or strain and gag and whatever you have to do to try to make it. He says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something. If you ain't got it, you can't let it shine. You can't even make it shine. We've got a lot, I believe, so many people today that call themselves Christian, they think that they have the light and they're straining to make it shine. Well, they ain't even got the power for it to shine. Unless the power of the Holy Spirit is in our lives, there is no power to let it shine. That is the work of God within our lives. Folks, if there has ever been a time when we need to shine, it is right now as never before. In our home, on our jobs, in our school, wherever we are. Because let me tell you something. There is only one hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this song.